Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
This week, and you recognize how important it is, how awesome it is in the story, because again, we can do this all day long, but if we don't have Easter, we have nothing. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the grave, we have nothing to celebrate today. And by the way, I wouldn't spend five more minutes with you if that wasn't the case, because I'm not into civic clubs, I'm not into feel-good clubs, I'm not into the optimist club. Most notably, I'm not going to be involved in a pessimist club. But I don't have time for clubs. This morning, the reason I'm here is because I know Jesus Christ is alive. He's on the throne, and this morning we have hope, not only for us to be a part of his kingdom work, but also to share that with the broken, the lost, and the dying around us. Visitors, it's a blessing to have you with us today. I hope that you feel like you've come home to family, because we are family. We're related through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and I hope today that you find that today, if you've come here empty, you've come here hurting, you're struggling, that's okay, because the same way that people came to meet Jesus is the way that you need to come today, just as you are. But I promise you, if you're here today and you find yourself in that position where you're heavy laden, the scripture says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and his promise is this, I will give you rest. So if you're in need of rest today, I hope that you will come and lay your burdens at the feet of the one that says to cast them all. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, the 11th chapter today. We're going to look at 10 verses. As you know, this is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday to me resonates with me due to the fact that I grew up in South Florida the majority of my childhood. Because of that, we had a lot of things in South Florida that looked like palm trees, palm leaves. Whether it was a palm tree or not, it didn't matter. They all looked the same down there. And on Palm Sunday, you know what I remember as a child, right? There were palm branches everywhere. The teachers would bring them in, and literally it was like an absolute explosion of palm branches on Palm Sunday. So even from being literally infant, I remember on Palm Sunday because of those branches and how it reiterates, how it resonates with me. And it's so exciting because as those teachers, in bringing those palm branches in, they solidified a biblical story to me, a biblical truth that this very day, I can still shut my eyes and see it was a sunny day, the one I really, really remember vividly. I'd probably been about 3 or 4 years old in Miami there. And I remember on a day like this, everybody was holding palm branches. They had them lining the sanctuary, and it was just a really awesome thing. I don't remember what it was all about at that age. I didn't even grasp probably much of it. But you know what happened? The truth of God's word did what God's word says. It will not return void. And I'm thankful this morning that I'm able to stand here today because men and women, boys and girls stood firm, steadfast in the faith, and I came to know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I'm thankful today that those stories are still a powerful part of my life, and I pray this morning are a powerful part of yours. I hope you found scripture in Mark chapter 11. We'll go ahead and get into it, verses 1 through 10. And if you're able physically this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. When they approached Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and told them, go into the village ahead of you, and as soon as you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and they will send it back here right away. So they went and found a young donkey outside in the street, tied by a door. They untied it, and some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing, untying the donkey? They answered them, just as Jesus had said, so they let them go. Then they brought the donkey to Jesus, threw their robes on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their robes on the road. Others spread leafy branches cut from the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed kept shouting, Hosanna! He who comes in the name of the Lord is the blessed one. The coming kingdom of our father David is blessed. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, this morning for this beautiful day. God, this picture of your creative hand, Lord, the heavens declare the glory of the earth, the work of your hands. Father, we praise you for it. God, we praise you, Lord, for the sign language, the singing. God, just all that we've been able to do to offer a sacrifice of worship to you this morning. Father, I pray now as the reading of your word has been read, we know that your word will not return void. I pray that you would work on hearts, that you would prepare hearts, not only here but all over the globe, to hear the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, he's Savior, he is King. I pray if there's one that does not know you as Lord and Savior, ones that may be running from you, that are struggling with what they should be doing, know where they should be, but today they've just been battling that call to return and repent. Father, I pray today would be that day. Lord, we ask all of this today in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Great story. I've gone into so many different ways of approaching this year in and year out, but this morning, listen to those first three verses again. When they approached Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. He tells them, go into the village ahead of you. As soon as you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you or says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it and we'll send it back here right away. First thing that I want to share with you this morning is this. The call of Jesus Christ is a call to obedience. I approached it a number of years ago. If you know anything about animals, if you know anything about livestock, if you know anything about an animal that's never had anyone sit on it, that is not an activity that you engage in unless you're a fool. Amen? Anybody know what rodeos are? Anybody know how many people are maimed and killed at rodeos every year? Do you know why? Because wild animals do not get excited. They don't get the warm and fuzzy feeling when you throw something on their back and then get on it. What the picture that you're seeing in that, though, is that there is nothing that the God of creation cannot do. The very picture that nothing had ever ridden on this donkey was the expression that, hey, look at this. This is God. This is our King. This is Christ Jesus. And this thing can't have anything but yield to his desire, purpose, and his plan. So that's the thing that's so beautiful this morning. We think about human hearts sometimes. We think about how wild. We think about how that person right now that just came up in your mind when I said those wild ones that don't want anything to do with Christ, and that many times they're very mocking to the things of the Lord. They're just anti. Are y'all hot? We're gonna fan too much, and this might lift off. But a lot of times we get caught in that mindset of going, you know, Uncle Billy, Uncle Peggy Sue, or Aunt Peggy Sue, and we go through all these names and we begin to think, well, there ain't no way they'd ever. This is the problem. That is so anti-Christ, because God can do anything. It doesn't matter what you and I think's possible. This is the problem. We got a faith problem. You know what a faith problem is? You want to sit around and point at what God can't do because it won't work. And this is the issue. It doesn't have anything to do with what can happen. It has to do with what he can make happen. God can do anything. So the big question becomes this. What is God's will? What is God's will? We know what it is in the story, don't we? God's will is that Jesus is going to get on this colt and it's going to go. It's not going to run. It's not going to buck. He's going to sit on it, and that thing's going to do exactly what it's supposed to do. And what did it do? It did it. What did it do? It did the will of the Father. Now my question for you this morning is, are you doing the will of the Father? See, the call of Jesus Christ is a call to obedience. Not an obedience to me. Like I've told you, and I'll continually, by God's grace, tell you till the day I die, you have nothing to worry about with me. I'm not your daddy. I'm not a cult leader. I'm no one. I am a person that puts my pants on and takes them off the same way you do. I love Jesus. I stand up here not because there's fame and fortune involved in it, because this is truth. And that's the reason I stand here week in and week out. I can compel you to do nothing. You've got to make a choice to do what you want to do. All I can do is proclaim the truth of God's word. What you do with it is strictly between who? You and him. Doesn't matter what I think. Because ultimately, I'll do what you do, and I'll stand in the presence of the Lord one day to give an account for my life, and it's not going to matter that you thought that it one day when you stood there, well, Brother Jonathan will attest that I was a good person. I won't be able to do that for you, by the way. I can't give you a spiritual reference. Once you have done what only you can do, once you breathe your last breath, it's over. There's no more. There's no more references. There's no more speaking on your behalf. There's more court appeals. No, it's it. What will testify against you is your life or for you. What will testify? The Creator speaks. It's honestly, if we look at it from the human perspective, that's where we have a problem because we're rebels. Amen? Every one of us from cradle to the grave are rebels. Is anybody going to be honest with themselves? Okay, the rest of y'all can do what you want. I'm going to just tell you. We're rebels from cradle to the grave. Your child, your little, right? Your little, oh, they're so innocent. Yep, it's running to get into the cookie jar. It's running to get into any and everything that you told them not to do because you love them and want to protect them. Oh, they want to go to the mouse trap. And where do you, oh, no, honey, come over here. Where do they go? They come in 5 minutes later with a bruised finger and a mouse trap on that. You said, I told you not to do it. You've never thought about that. That's the sin nature that all of us are born with. We want to do what we're not supposed to do. That is the issue that brings us to the place that we defy the living God by our very nature. So there, in a thinking about it from the perspective of law and order, there is in society a law, a standard with which we must meet, right? If you don't meet that standard, you don't like what somebody decided to say to you, so you get out and you punch them in the mouth. You break their jaw. You're going to court, right? You're probably going to get sued, but you're also going to have to go to criminal court because you have done an aggravated assault. Because why? You had brass knuckles on when you did it. So now what's going to happen? You're going to stand in front of a court and you're going to be sentenced. There's a payment for your actions, for the what? Sin, the trespass. See, that's the same model that was modeled after King, the God of all creation. The God of all creation said, don't touch the tree. But what? We decided we had to have a little bit, didn't we? You might go, well, that was them, not me. Right? We all experience the consequences for other sin. Amen? And sadly, that choice, instead of Adam going, nope, you're on your own, honey. Right? He enjoyed the same exact thing, and look where we're at now. Thankfully, though, God is so merciful and gracious, he sent Jesus. And by the way, as we celebrate this week, we celebrate the time in history when man was required to live according to the old law, the law. The law was impossible to keep. Kept pointing, God had kept saying, there's going to be a Redeemer, there's going to be a Savior, there's going to be a new covenant, there's going to be a Messiah. We are now experiencing this week that the Messiah, the culmination of the Messiah's birth, is now going to end in his death. What is his death going to be significant by? It's significant because Jesus Christ was not conceived by man. If he had been conceived by man, he could never have been the Savior of mankind because he would have had a sin nature. Well, how does that matter? Because we get our sin nature through the Father's DNA. Jesus did not have an earthly Father's DNA. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, when you look at Scripture, you see that. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and she conceived, and amen, there's Jesus' conception right there. It was not an earthly means. She was a virgin, had never had relations with a person. What's so beautiful about that is Jesus lacked the earthly DNA and therefore lacked sin. That is the reason that Jesus was able to be the sacrificial Lamb of God. That was the reason that Jesus was able to pay the sin of all mankind. You go, I don't understand that, Brother Jonathan. That's just one man. Let's go back to the concept, right? What did Adam do? Adam and Eve made us, and guess what happened? We were all made sinners with his choice, but guess what also? In Christ Jesus, we're all made righteous. So this morning, what's so exciting about that is that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is right there standing, let's just say, hanging in front of you as a gift. What are you going to do? The call to obedience, what is the obedience? It's not just a matter of trying to keep people from misbehaving and rising up from governments. No, it's the obedience to the call of your Creator, the architect. Do you want to dwell in the garden? Do you want to live in the garden? Or do you want to dwell under the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Meaning, do you want to dwell in sin and separation? Or do you want to dwell in his presence? That's the question ultimately this morning that we all will answer. Well, I'm not serving anybody. Oh, that's fine. By default, you serve the enemy. Whether you like it or not, that's the reality of the story. Whether you realize it or not, in not choosing, you've chosen. So what the choice can be this morning is, do you desire the beauty of the Creator's reality that He desires for you, the garden dwelling, or do you desire a place that is completely devoid of every good and nice and perfect thing that God created for us to experience? I don't know. That's up to you. Remember, I can compel you, I can encourage you, and I can challenge you, but you and only you can come to that place where you recognize you're a sinner in need of a Savior. What you do with that is strictly up to you. Now, as we move on, verses 4 through 7. So they went, they found a young donkey outside the street, tied by a door. They untied it. Some of the stalls of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing, untying the donkey?" They answered them just as Jesus had said, so they let him go. Then they brought the donkey to Jesus, threw their robes on it, and he sat on it. So you see this picture of, again, the obedience right there, but then the second part I want to share with you this morning, principle. The call of Jesus is a call to service. We can think it's wonderful to be saved, and we think it's a wonderful thing to get saved and serve the Lord, and it's great, and I don't do anything for the Lord, and it's just such a great thing to be a part of His kingdom, and I'll send $5 to help somebody in sub-Saharan Africa to make myself feel better about what I should be doing, and I'll tip God every once in a while by putting a dollar in the offering plate. It's so great to be a part of the kingdom. I'm sorry, you're a part of the kingdom. You like the thought of the kingdom, but see, the part of the kingdom is a call to serve Him. It's the call to serve Him. It's not the call to serve yourself. It's not the call to say, "Well, I'm going to church so I can get, I just want to go and get filled up." By the way, if you come here with that mindset, you will leave empty. Because I can't do in 30 minutes on a Sunday what would take you all week in your own private worship time, prayer time, and in God's Word. This is merely the culmination of a week-long worship in our own personal that comes together, and basically it's a celebration, it's a huddle like a sports team has. What are you doing? All the plays you've been working throughout the week, you come together, you get energized, you get excited to go out to the game. The game starts tomorrow morning or tonight when you leave here and you go out into your mission field. You can sit back all day long and say how much you love Jesus, but if you don't get in the fields that are white unto harvest and labor for the kingdom, tell me what part of the kingdom you really are a part of. If you have no desire to read God's word and no desire to pray, what part of God's kingdom are you a part of? Now, be honest with yourself. Stop all that sunshine blowing. Oh, it's just so awesome to be a follower of Christ. You look back, you have done nothing for the kingdom. You've been no part in any way of affecting, if anything, you're infecting people with something that is anti-Christ. Because it's so polar opposite of what God has called us to do and to be. Because what is the call of a disciple? Take up your cross and follow Him. Look at the disciples, each one of them. What did they do? Hey, come follow me. He walks by and he doesn't stop and say, "Listen, man, we got a great benefits package. And we got 5 paid days off. We got 6 days. Listen, you get a take-home car, a Camel. This thing rocks." No. Jesus merely came and said, "Follow me." And what's so ironic is, what do you see? They left everything and followed Him one at a time. Why? Because they didn't even understand the magnitude of what they were doing, but they were leaving nothing to go for everything. See, we're so in love with this world. I can't even begin to tell you the number of people that I've even read about, heard about, or even known some people in the last 3 weeks that have died. Never in a million years would you have believed that these people at this age could die. It's astounding. But yet how many of us, even at 50 years, acting like you're going to live forever? I'll serve the Lord down the road sometime. We got all kinds of time. I'm going to wait until I'm ready to start doing what God has commanded me to do. Well, you go on and keep doing it, you'll never do anything for the kingdom. And it doesn't matter if you like to hear that. If that makes you feel bad, it's not me that's doing that. It's your conviction because you're not doing what God's commanded you to do. And I'm challenging you this morning to go from a place of disobedience to a place of obedience so you can stop feeling like you're feeling. You wonder why I think I preached about this Wednesday night or Sunday night. I don't know which one it was. God doesn't talk to me. God doesn't lead me like he does everybody else. When's the last time you read? I read a verse a day, every day. There's no words. God's given you his word. You've got the burning bush. You've got the parted Red Sea. You've got the establishment of the nation of Israel. You've got Abraham's call. You've got every story and every heartbeat and every word straight from the Lord. He said, listen, God, I want you to do something different for me. That self-importance has got to go. Because God has given us what no one else in history had before Christ Jesus was here. Well, they got to see the bush burn. Well, guess what? Only if you were there. The rest of them didn't have that. By the way, they didn't have the Holy Spirit to convict them, to lead them, and to guide them like we did and do. You want to tell me that they had it better back then? You need to go see somebody and sit down on a couch and let them talk to you for a while if you believe that. Because it's so out there, that's that thing of saying, well, if I was them, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have been like Samson. I wouldn't have been, you'd been worse. That's the reality of us. We say, oh, look what they did. Oh, God have mercy on you, because whatever you're going to do is going to be 10 times worse than they do, because God's going to have to humble you. You know what the word says? Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. Amen? Oh, me. Amen. We got to be really, really careful, because see, the call of a disciple is a call to service. And if you're not serving in the kingdom right now, I want you to honestly answer before God. I don't want you to answer in this room. You'll embarrass yourself. If you're doing nothing for the kingdom right now, tell me what Matthew chapter 7 and how the application of Matthew 7 in relation to what a disciple is. By their fruit, you will know them. I'm asking you this morning, do me a favor. I want you to step back and look at the tree of your life, and you tell me what you are. I'd ask you to do an introspective look today, because again, brothers and sisters, this is serious business. We have an enemy that's masquerading as an angel of light. See, people want to get all upset about the person that walked in that school on Monday of this past week in Nashville. We want to say, oh, it has to do with what their lifestyle choice is. Now I'm going to tell you what it has to do with. It's three letters. It's S, it's I, and it's N. It's sin. That's where it boils down to, and we have an enemy that desires to destroy all of us and everything that is a semblance of godliness, righteousness, justice, holiness, and all the things that God's created us to experience. He is hell-bent. So what does he do? He starts with, what do I say, week in and week out, incremental compromise. You don't have to get out this week and walk away from your family and end up in a hotel room with somebody that's not worth two rusty nickels. No. That's his end game. He's going to take it one slice at a time, because he knows he'll get you there if you'll just give him a little bit every day. We're like, oh no, I would never do what they did. You keep saying that. You better watch it, because that pride and arrogance is going to sink you and it's going to completely destroy you. See, the call of Christ is one to service. What is that service? It's 24 hours a day. It's 7 days a week. It's 365 days a year from the time you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to the time that you are graveyard dead. That's the call of a disciple right there. It's not the call that when things are going good, we're looking in our Acts study right now, we're finding out that there was a perilous journey that was the all-consuming life for Paul, Silas, and all of these disciples. We're watching a little arrogance play out this week in the Passion narrative, don't we? Man by the name of Peter. Oh, Lord, I'll go with you to death. All right. Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Oh, no, Lord, I never... Yeah, he found out something, didn't he? Jesus had to go it alone. He had to. As a matter of fact, the Father had to turn his face away from him because he could not look on the sin. You imagine? It is mind-numbing to even begin. I can't fathom the feeling of loneliness and rejection that Jesus felt in the midst of paying the sin debt. I can't. I can't even begin to, because I know it in the earthly senses, the enemy tries to come to you at times and make you feel like nobody loves you. You've had times like everybody's had times like that in your life. Can you imagine when you're one who can think perfectly? When you're Christ Jesus, who's able to comprehend it, and actually when we think it, most often it's just an absolute mirage. We got tons of people that love us, but the enemy convinces us that no one does. But can you imagine when Jesus is there and he truly has been forsaken by everyone, including the Father? Oh, I can't. So he was willing to go to that level to give us this ability today to be free, to be forgiven. He wants us to dwell in his presence. He wants to pour out his thoughts. Scripture says, I want to pour out my thoughts to you. Proverbs 1 shows it. Romans chapter 1. He doesn't force us. We can tell him to take a flying leap, but he desires to. He desires to fellowship with us. He has removed all of the barriers to intimate fellowship, to, in essence, the garden experience in Genesis chapter 1 once again. That's what he desires for us. Do you realize this morning, he has nothing. God doesn't cease to be God without us. God changes in no way if he obliterates every human being that ever lived on the face of the earth. That, to me, shows the depth of his love for us. He loves us with a love that I cannot even remotely begin to comprehend, but I sure would love to fully. The call of Jesus is a call of service, church. Then verses 16 and 17. Many people spread their robes on the road. Others spread leafy branches cut from fields. And those who went ahead, they followed, kept shouting, Hosanna! He who comes in the name of the Lord is the blessed one. The coming kingdom of our father David is blessed. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Third and final life application principle for the morning study is this. The call of Jesus is a call to salvation. Are you shouting with your life today, Hosanna? Hosanna? Or does your life today shout away with him? Hit me this week, that question. Is your life shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna? Meaning you're an integral part, you're truly abiding in the vine, you are a follower of Jesus Christ who desires to dwell in his presence in a life, in an acted life that is a lifestyle of worship, or is your life one that says, away with him? Because you don't want to be a disciple, you don't want to sacrifice, you don't want, you just think it's, whether it's a bunch of fairy tales or whatever the things that people in their minds construct. It's not like that old thing, you know, church is about controlling people and I just do things my own way. Oh, what does that say? Exactly what I was just been talking about from day one. It's rebellion. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, you can do that. Again, God gave us free will. He gives us still free will. By the way, there's a great consequence for that. Don't ever forget that. Think about it. The same reason that you don't get out in traffic and bust somebody in the mouth, right? Because you recognize that there's going to be a fundamental issue that arises when the man in the suit with the pew-pew, right, shows up and says, you're going with me, and puts those beautiful little those nice little bracelets on you, right? Puts you in a state of worship. Yes. Then you've got a big old mess. Why? Because nobody's going to tell you what to do. Well, on a much grander scale, that's the way it is in ultimate reality. We can either die saying, my will be done, or we can live a life right now that says, Lord, thy will be done. I want to be a part of your kingdom. God, I realize that I'm a moment away from eternity, God. I don't have anything, Lord, that this world, I am a sojourner, I'm a stranger. How many people worship church buildings? How many people, you know how many church buildings are being shut down right now that were worshiped throughout history by the people within their church? They were so concerned about the church building, they missed the entire call of a disciple, never reached, never ministered, and they now have been shut down. And thankfully, in some cases, other godly ministries have been able to take them over and save them at their last breaths. But I know right now, those buildings are being occupied by people that are completely polar opposite of what we do. Polar opposite in the business of changing hearts and lives through the good news of the gospel. How many denominations right now are getting so wound up and caught up in being relative and being relevant in our culture, splitting denominations because they don't want to follow God's word anymore. They just want to do what feels good so that everybody can sing Kumbaya and everything be great. I'm sorry, but church doesn't work that way. Truth is absolute. That's the thing about it. And the question becomes to all of us, is our life line up with truth? Or does it line up with what we want to do, what we want to feel, what we want to experience? And that's the question at the end of the day for us. Are we going to serve? Are we going to be obedient? Are we going to yield our wants and our wills and our desires to the Lord? Are we going to lay down our life as a living sacrifice? Because I can assure you, if there was anything that was a truer truth than this, I'd be on it. I'd have been out here way long time ago. And if this was not truth, do you think I have 6 hours every Sunday morning, all afternoon, and then Sunday evenings, and then Wednesdays, and the time I go visit people? Do you really think that we have that kind of time just to play around with something that's a civic club that makes us feel good, but is not truth? If the Word of God and His truth and who He is had not fundamentally transformed me, and I did not know beyond a shadow of a doubt He's real, I would not wait 5 more minutes. I'm out of here because I, as you do, we're not here just swinging in the dark at the hopes. No. We have a truth that is real, it's living, it's lasting. And it's a truth this morning that's calling out to everyone here and online that'll watch this video in the coming months, for that matter, years. It's a truth that says we're broken. The loving God of creation sent His Son Jesus to die for us. And as they triumphantly received Him, remember so many people get cheerleading about Jesus and fall away. Just think about this. You know that the ones that were waving the palm, waving the branches on this Sunday back in history were the ones shouting, "Crucify Him," just a few days later. Are you shouting this morning, "Hosanna in the highest," and standing and defending and contending, "He who began a good work will perform it to the day of Christ"? Or are you one that merely bought in to an excited phase and yet never came to true faith in Christ? I ask all of us that this morning, because if it's a call to obedience, are you living under, not to me, again, it's nothing to do with me, are you living in obedience to the Lord, the King, God of creation? Are you serving, genuinely serving? I'm not talking about what you're blowing up to be something much more bigger than it is. Are you serving the Lord? Matter of fact, a lot of times you have to sit back and actually think about it, because you've gotten so accustomed to being obedient that you don't even recognize that your obedience is something that you're even thoughtfully doing. You just do it because you love the Lord. When you sit around and go, "Oh man, I can't wait. I'm going to go over here and do some things. They'll be so happy with me." Be real careful of your motives in that. You better be working as unto the Lord. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, because we're not going to stand before anybody else one day in judgment. We're going to stand before a God that has the standard. He's the one that has the ability to set it. He's the one that paid the price so we could be free this morning and not have to bear our own sin debt. And this morning, most beautiful is this morning, the heavens declare the glory of the earth, the work of His hands. There's a deafening call through the halls of eternity, shouting, "Come, come just as you are." My old saying is, somebody will say, "You know, I got to get my life straightened up before I can get saved." Wait a second, let me just give you a quick devil's advocate thing. You say, if we're able to get ourselves straightened up, why do we need Him? Amen? Have you ever thought, Zacchaeus didn't say, "I'm going to stop cheating people on their taxes. I'm going to stop robbing people. And then, Jesus, you can come to my house." The woman at the well, did anybody, right? "I'm going to stop prostituting," right? "I'm going to stop all of these actions and then we'll get things straightened up." No. They came, ready, at the height of their sin and their brokenness. You know, that's what Jesus calls you to do. That's what the call is, to come just as you are. What, who? I love the words, "All ye who are weary and heavy laden," again with the promise, "and I will give you rest." What is the other promise? "Take my yoke upon me and learn, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." How many of you this morning need rest? How many of you are weak? How many of you are struggling? Well, you can keep fighting it. You can keep struggling. You can keep battling. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to keep losing. Because there's no way that we can ever live for Him without the power of the Holy Spirit giving us the ability to live for Him. We're going to have an invitation in just a second. You can sit there the same way and, well, I'll come next week because, you know, I'll wait till the week after because it's Easter. Or you can listen to the God that is convicting you, that's leading you. Maybe you need to pray for a loved one, a wife, a husband, a mother, a father, a brother or sister. I got a few you can pray for. How about the kids and the families from Covenant Nashville? How about the people that were killed in the storms this week? What about the family that had, if I remember correctly, 4 children in a car, 2 adults killed, 1 lived? All of them had no seatbelts on from 1-year-old to 12-year-old in Robertson County. 2 adults killed. There was only 1 with a seatbelt on the passenger front, and they were the only one that lived. You want somebody to pray for this morning? I'll give you some. I can keep going, by the way. We got people in this body of Christ still suffering from loss that we can lift up in prayer. We can pray that God would continue to solidify the call of this body of Christ to be in line with His desire and will. We can pray for our children, all these children, all the fosters, the fostering that goes on in this body of Christ, all of these different ministries that God has blessed us with, these new brothers and sisters in Christ that God's given us. You want somebody to pray for? The list goes on, amen? The question is, do you want to be obedient? Do you want to serve? Do you want to be hey, maybe this morning you go, you know what, God? That hit me on like a ton of bricks. What am I doing for the kingdom, Lord? Really, I stepped back and looked at it, and I'm really doing nothing. I would encourage you to pray this morning, God, I'm not where I need to be. And maybe you go, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you where a great place to start is. Bible, humble yourself under God's mighty hand that He may lift you up in due time. God, I know I'm not where I need to be this morning. God, begin right now, not only to convict me in the areas I need to be convicted in, but God, lead me. Lead me to that place of repentance where I recognize what I haven't been doing and what I should be doing. God, I'm going to repent of that. This morning, I purpose, Lord, to be a vibrant part of Your kingdom. We realize that if you think our culture is doing great and everything's wonderful and everybody's singing Kumbaya, again, you need some treatment, some serious treatment, because you are living in some reality that I would like to join you, but I'd be a little bit nervous getting into because things might get really bad really quick. The reality of things right now is it doesn't look real pretty. Right? That's why I don't watch the news. I don't watch that stuff because I can't handle it. It just drives me insane. I'm thankful this morning that I'm able to focus on what God, I realize the things that are going around and I hear about the things that I need to hear about. But I'm thankful today that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. What you want to do this morning is clearly up to you. But I pray when you leave here this morning, you feel like a million-pound weight has been lifted off of you. How that works in relation to what you need done this morning, again, I can't answer that. Only you can. Let's pray. Father, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make Him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.